Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Romans, John. Let's go to John. We might not want to go to Romans today. That wouldn't be fit with my message. John chapter number 1. Appreciate you being here today. Appreciate that song. Appreciate the Robertson family. I was just thinking, been listening to them sing for right at 30 years or 31 or 31 years. And remember when they were small, but God blessed them with a great voice, and they've been a real blessing in our church. I meant to mention it a while ago, but it's good to have a friend of mine here today, Brother John Sneck. He's a pastor down in Eustis, Florida. He and I grew up together, went to school together, we're neighbors, and he's been a real friend to me through the years, and I appreciate so much him coming by to be with us today as we were having our 50th class reunion this weekend, and I'm glad to have him in the service with us. If you have your Bibles, John chapter number 1, we begin reading in just a moment in verse number 10. We're about to celebrate or begin to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll be dealing with that accordingly. You know, we think about the resurrection, and by the way, without the resurrection, there would literally, we would not have, even though Jesus died and shed his blood and paid for our sin debt on the cross, thank God he arose again today in order that he may continue to meet and take care of our needs. There's nobody that loves you like Jesus loves you. And no matter what anybody says or thinks, nobody can love you like Jesus loved you. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the title of the message today is Lovingly He Came. And I'm glad today that he came, and he came lovingly. He didn't come grudgingly. And he didn't come because he had to. And you know, that's the way we serve God today. We kind of sometimes, well, we feel like we got to, or, well, we need to, or, you know, that's the best thing to do. No, we ought to come because we're thankful to be saved by the grace of God and on our way to heaven and what he's done for us. Look, if you would, with me, I want to look at you a few things today of lovingly he came. Begin reading verse number 10. The Bible said he was in the world and the world knew him not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He said he came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh among us, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together. And Lord, I do pray now that you'd anoint my lips, that you'd help me as I preach. And Lord, today, may I make you to them a real understanding of the truth of how much you loved us when you came to this earth in order that you might die. My, what a song we just heard. Yes, the very thing you held all power in your hand, but yet you stayed on that cross in order that you might pay the ultimate price for our sin. Father, I pray now today that you would guide and direct, give me wisdom, strength, and help. We'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. The songwriter wrote these words. He said, in loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace, he lifted me. From sinking sand, he lifted me. With tender hand, he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me. And I sure am glad today that one day he reached down, way down, and got me up out of the miry pit, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my going. I tell you today, all of us ought to be excited today that the Lord has lifted us up if you've been saved and experienced the grace of God. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 14 and 15, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I am chief. I tell you today, none of us, we go back and look, and definitely Paul was a great sinner. And before he got saved, he was known, of course, as Saul. And he got saved, and God changed his life, and God changed his name. But I tell you, all of us have gone to the point in our life, if we're going to heaven, it's because we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and understand what he's done for us. As that verse I just read, Matthew Henry said it best. He said from that verse, this is a faithful saying. These are true and faithful words which are to be depended upon. That the Son of God came into the world willingly, purposefully to save sinners. No man with Paul's example before him can question the love and the power of Christ to save him. If he really desires to trust in him as the Son of God, who once died on the cross and now reigns upon the throne of glory to save all that come to God through him, let us then admire the Son and the Holy Ghost, three persons in the unity of the Godhead, the glory of all done in him by and for us. Isn't it wonderful today of what Christ did for us? But the thing that startles me the most is verse 10 and 11 of this passage. That the Bible said he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The 10th verse declares that he was in the world. We find the world was made by him, and it did not recognize him. Yet he was upon the earth, but everywhere he went, many people still did not understand or recognize who he was. But he came personally to his own. He took upon himself the fleshly form of a servant. And by the way, friend, I've never been to heaven. I've read a lot about it, and I'm excited about one day being there and all the joys of heaven and the wonders of heaven. But I got a feeling that anybody that's ever gone to heaven and the people that are in heaven now, I doubt very seriously that they'll ever want to come back here. I doubt they have any inkling. You said, oh, listen, I think they probably want to come back and see us, or they want to come do this or that. No, friend, listen, heaven is a place of greatness, in a place where you will be thankful for. But yet Jesus Christ loved you, the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, and he left heaven and came and took upon himself the form of flesh. Now when you think about flesh, we know what flesh does. We know how many times it's hard to fight the flesh. And by the way, he never gave in. He never sinned. He lived a perfect life. But he was tempted, the Bible said, in all points like as we were. He hungered. He thirsted. He suffered, and he experienced the pain, but his own received him not. Friend, it kind of bothers me today, and I know some people said, well, you know, y'all put too much emphasis on going to church and being faithful to church. Friend, listen, going to church is nothing compared to going to the cross, okay? Aren't you glad today that Jesus set a great example for us, that when he died, he was steadfast, he was faithful, and he was willing to give his life on the cross for our sin. Yet today it's hard to find people that are committed to doing what he would call them to do. We say, well, we just don't have time. We can't work it into our schedule. But you see, he came because he loved each and every one of us. He came to bring salvation to sinners without hope. The Bible said in verse 11, he said, he came unto his own. Boy, what a day, the day that he came. One day we had walked in darkness, according to Isaiah 9:2. Now, according to Matthew 4:16, we're sitting in darkness, but God sent his Son to illuminate. He is the light of the world, and to illuminate our hearts and lift us to the place we need to be. Another song said he left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrows can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this if that isn't love. I tell you today, nobody has ever experienced a greater love than the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that came lovingly to die for you. I've got quite a few points. I'm going to move quickly. But lovingly, he came to reveal. John 1:14. The Bible said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 17 and 18. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Listen, verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So we find here Jesus came in order that he might reveal to us, to help us understand literally who God is, being that he is God, but in the person of the Son of Jesus Christ. The word reveal means to make known, to disclose or divulge, to make visible, to expose to view, to show. And friend, this book that I hold in my hand today is a mirror of God, the power of God, the presence of God, the strength of God in everything we do. That's why it's so important that we spend time to understand God's Word, because Jesus came in order that he might reveal to us, first of all, the glory of God. You know, we think about the glory of God, without question, Jesus Christ himself, who became man, took of the flesh as we did. And again, I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it, and perhaps you can't either. But when Jesus Christ came into this world, he took upon himself the 100% he became man. But 100% he remained God. And you said, that's impossible. No, friend, you don't understand. The Bible said, with God, nothing is impossible. And we understand it, though, they he became man, he never ceased to be God. Christ was the Shekinah glory of God. The word Shekinah means the dwells or dwelling. It refers to a bright cloud. You remember God used the light to lead the children of Israel by day and the fire by night in order that he might lead them in the place that he would have them go. It's the embodiment that Jesus Christ came. The law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You know, today, Jesus Christ is the very embodiment of grace and truth. We find that he's the embodiment of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. The absolute embodiment of all that God could be was in Christ when he came. The glory of all that God was stood right before them, right in their very presence. They beheld him and they saw God as it was. Jesus Christ, the man, dwelt among them. The Bible said in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead, according to Colossians 2, verse 9. And the Word of God, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He could reveal God to mankind as never before. God, who in sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Friend, today we talk about God and we talk about Jesus and we talk about the Holy Spirit, but we must understand Jesus came in order that he might reveal to us the glory of God. Second of all, he came that he might reveal the grace of God. As it said in verse number 17, he came in love to demonstrate the grace of God. You know, today I realize and understand that I'm here not because I deserve to be. I'm here today not because I've done any great thing, but I'm here today because of the grace and mercy of my Lord and Savior, who enabled me and called me and gave me the opportunity to serve him all these years, for which I am grateful. Grace does not come by the law, because listen, we cannot keep the law. We must understand today the grace of God and the grace and truth that we cannot continue to do what Christ would have us to do. In verse 16, in the fullness have all we received in the grace for grace. Matthew Henry said, our receivings by Christ are all summed up in this one word, and it's grace. Oh, the grace of God. Listen, somebody told me one time, they were a Bible student, and they said, listen, I don't think we ought to sing Amazing Grace because it don't mention God. Friend, I got news for you. I think Amazing Grace, the song Amazing Grace, has God all written through it, because it's only by the amazing grace of God that I've been saved this morning. And Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. In Jesus, we find God in all that we know about him. Martin Luther said, whosoever sees Christ as a mirror of the Father's heart actually walks through. So we've seen Christ came lovingly to reveal. Christ came lovingly to release. We find in John 8, verse 31 and 32, and verse 30, 36, then Jesus said unto those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son of Man therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. In Acts 2:24, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins by his own blood. You see, when we're born in this world, we're slaves to sin. John 8:34 and 35 said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. You see, the words committeth sin are a continuous action. Now again, we talked about it in Sunday school this morning. We dealt with Abraham, and we found out Abraham was not a perfect man. We found Abraham, he did some things in his life, and we look at him as perhaps being deceiving and some things that he did wrong. But again, I think it's the honest truth that we understand that all of us are sinners. And yes, even after we get saved, we're going to sin. Because the Bible said, him to know it to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. But thank God today, he said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The bond slave was purchased back in the day when the scripture was given, and that person was bound to the person that bought him. The idea is the idea that man is bought by sin. When a man sins, he's given himself over to sin. He becomes enslaved to sin. But I'll tell you, one day, you and I was put up on the auction block, and Jesus purchased us with his own blood. And I tell you, because he purchased us with his own blood, he gave us eternal life. What a blessing it is today to know the day that we belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belonged to me. Jesus warned man, listen to this, a slave is not a permanent member of a family, but the son is. The slave has no rights to claim from the family, has no privileges within the family, but the son, we find the son is always the son. You see, the slave, he can be rejected, be cast out of the house any time. But the son is always the son. He always has the rights and the privileges of the house. And friend, when you and I got saved, Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. And we've been adopted into the family of God. And whether you want to say adoption or whatever today, we are a child of God. And there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. We're not going to be kicked out of the house. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. We see the corruption of sin. Matthew 1:21, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save the people from their sin. Christ lovingly came to the world. He wallowed in the mire and the corruption of sin, but he came to free men from the corruption of sin. Samuel Shaw said, sin itself is hell and death and misery to the soul. But Jesus Christ lovingly came to free us from this hell, death and misery that we experience. The consequences of sin. The Bible said in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. All of us are sinners by nature. But thank God, did you get that verse a while ago? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I tell you, all of us at some time or another, we like to get presents, don't we? I want you to know the greatest present I ever got was the gift of salvation. Oh, that people might understand there's nothing we can do to get it on our own. We can't work for it. Listen, thank the Lord for you going to church and being faithful, and thank the Lord for you reading your Bible and praying, and thank the Lord for witnessing and telling people about Christ. But friend, that is not going to get you to heaven. What's going to get you to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ accepting the gift of salvation. Dwight Moody said, I must die or get someone to die for me. If the Bible doesn't teach that, it doesn't teach anything. And friend, I want you to know that's the absolute truth today. You understand, if all this be false, then we may as well shut the door and go home. But friend, it's not false, it's true. Lovingly, he came to reveal. Lovingly, he came to release. Lovingly, he came to redeem. The Bible said in verse 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name. It's amazing to me that I still run into people. Preacher, I just don't believe I'm one. And again, not getting into it this morning, but I believe in the sovereignty of God, and I do believe that God knows everything that goes on. But listen, I do believe this. He said it in His Word, that He died for the sins of the world. Friend, that's everybody that was ever born in this world. Jesus died on the cross for their sin. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The first thing we notice, the requirements for redemption. He came into His own received not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power. Now notice, as many as received Him. I heard somebody say one day to me, they said, well, why don't God just save who He wants to save? And He knows who's going to be saved. Why don't He just save them and let it be? I just tell you this, God had a plan and God had a purpose. And Jesus Christ came because He loved us to die on the cross. And He's given us the opportunity to hear the Word of God. And you can either accept it or reject it. In fact, He did not create hell for us. He created for the devil and his angels. But hell's had to be expanded because He said, broad is the way that leads to destruction and narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. And yet every person that ever sits under the sound of any preacher's voice is preaching the truth of the Word of God. And gives up and rejects and refuses to accept Christ as their Savior, they'll die in their sin and spend eternity separated from God. I had an opportunity this week to talk to a man, and he told me he was saved, and I just went back to him, and I said, listen, I just want to talk to you a little bit more, and I just want to know and ask you a few questions. I like to hear people give a testimony about how they got saved. You don't get saved by signing a card. You don't get saved by being baptized. You don't get saved by coming to church. I said, I want to hear how you got saved. And I tell you, here was his testimony. He said there was a man, he told me where he worked. He said, one day he came by my house. He said he took the Bible and he sat down. He showed me what I needed to do to get saved. And he said, I prayed that day and asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. And here's what he said when he got through. He said, I have no doubt. If I died today, I'd be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, I tell you what, you and I, every one of us need to have that assurance that we're not just thinking we're saved or we're just hoping we're saved. And some fellow said, well, one day I guess when we die, we'll find out if we're saved. Listen, the Apostle Paul said he knew that he was saved. He said, I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed against him. Yes. Everybody's got to come to a time in their life where they accept Jesus Christ is their Savior. And friend, it's nothing hard. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And friend, simple as that. Even a child can understand God saves those who receive Him. The recipients of redemption, as many as received Him. Somebody said, well, I didn't get there in time. No, there's still time. You're still breathing, right? There's still time. The Lord hadn't come back. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, the grace or love of God, which comes in salvation, is free to all. It's free for all. And it's to whosoever will, let him come. There's nobody to blame if you die and go to hell. Except yourself. Because, friend, I can't make the decision for you. Your mom and dad can't make the decision for you. There's nobody in this building that can make the decision for you, but only you can make the decision for yourself. In 1 John 2:2, and I mentioned this the other day, He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only. You get it now, but for the sins of the whole world. Makes no difference who we are. Oliver Green was a great preacher back in the day, a radio preacher. He said, thank God for the last part of that verse. Jesus paid the penalty for all sins, for all sinners of all times. There are those who teach limited atonement. That's called hyper-Calvinism. They teach the elect. Only the elect can be saved and others will be damned. But such doctrine is not found in the Word of God. The scripture says God so loved the world. Lovingly he came to reveal, to release, to redeem. Lovingly he came to reconcile. In Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, so much the more, being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. It means to change from enmity with God to friendship with God. What is sin done? Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is ears heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Isaiah 57, 20 and 21, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wickedness. Sin has ruined men, has ruined women, has ruined angels. Sin occasioned every tear of sorrow, every sigh of grief, every pang of agony. Sin has withered everything that is fair, blasted everything that is good, made bitter everything that is sweet, dried up the springs of comfort, rolled far and wide the tides of sorrow. Sin hath digged every grave, built every coffin, woven every shroud, enlarged every cemetery that the world has ever seen. That quote was made by R.G. Lee, a great preacher of the Word of God. What is it that sin did? He said in Romans 5:10, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Friend, I don't like to think about Jesus dying. I hate to think about the agony that he experienced. But I tell you, when I understand that it was for me, it makes me love him more. It makes me want to serve him more. It makes me want to be faithful to him more. I'm grateful for the years God's given me, and I pray he continues to help me as I serve him and try to be faithful to him. But through faith in the Word, listen, we became friends. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I'm his own. Sometimes people may feel alone. But I tell you, with Christ, you're never alone, because he came lovingly to be your friend, your companion. Somebody said, I don't have anybody to turn to. Friend, if you don't have anybody to turn to Jesus and trust him. And then lovingly, he came to remake. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, I go back in my life. I look back. Susan and I, the night at the nursing home, we sing that song, Remind Me, Dear Lord. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. I shudder to think this morning where I could have been by the way I was going and the things I was doing. But I'll tell you what I was. The Bible said in Ephesians 2, back in the day before I was saved, I was dead in my trespasses and sin. Where in times past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. Warren Wiersbe said, what a picture of a lost sinner. To begin, the sinners are dead spiritually. The inner man is dead to spiritual things and cannot respond to them. You see the difference between an unsaved church member and a lost person. Some of them may be on Skid Row. They may be in a state of decay. But friend, I don't care if you're sitting in a pew in the church. If you've never trusted Christ, you're literally on Skid Row. You may not be begging for bread. You may have everything you need, but you're enslaved to sin. And until you come to the realization, we're born by nature the children of wrath. And truly, the only way to escape that is through salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the good news is not what we were, but what we are. I tell you, I talked to somebody the other day, and they made a statement to me. They said, boy, I tell you, preacher, I tell you, God's been working on me, and I've been thinking about it, and I've been praying about it. And he said, boy, I just had one desire. I wish I hadn't wasted so many years. And I said, you know what? I know the feeling, but I can tell you one thing. Forget about those years, and think about those years ahead of you, because there's nothing you can do about what you haven't done. But there's sure something you can do about what you can do now as you serve God. Colossians 2, 6 and 7, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, And ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You see, we didn't turn over a new leaf. We got saved. We had a new life. We got a new master. Charles Spurgeon said, in the true conversion, there's points of essential agreement. There must be all a penitent confession of sin, a looking to Jesus for forgiveness. There must be also a real change of the heart. And again, I say this often. I am not a judge today of whether a man's saved or lost. But I simply say, if a person's saved somewhere along the line, you're going to bear fruit that's going to reveal to you your love for the one who gave his love for you to die on the cross for your sin. Thank God Jesus came lovingly. We're going to talk about the fact that he died and he arose again next week, and we think about that and what a blessing it was. But as we begin to approach the Easter season and we think about the resurrection, would you give some thought to why he came to start with? And his resurrection has extended the blessing to each and every one of us if we trust him. Lovingly, he came to reveal. Lovingly, he came to release. Lovingly, he came to redeem. Lovingly, he came to reconcile. And thank God he came to remake you and I what we need to be. I mentioned it a while back. I preached a message on it. Actually, he's still working on me. He's still working on me to make me what I need to be. But I tell you, God wants to remake your life. And I tell you, if you've been going this direction and it hadn't been working out for you, why don't you try Jesus? I promise it's a guaranteed key. It's a cure that'll help you along the way of life. But without Christ, I could do nothing. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together this morning. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for coming to this earth and dying for our sin. Lord, I do pray now that you would guide and direct. Give us the strength and help that we need. And Lord, I pray if there's one here today that's lost, that you'd help them come today and put their faith and trust in you. We ask now that you would just bless this invitation. Lord, today, so many Sundays we gather, and we just assume everybody's saved, everybody's going to heaven. Well, there's people who've been sitting in churches for years, and they've never trusted Christ as their Savior. Today could be the day. Would you help them to just step out? Lord, by demonstrating your love to them, may they demonstrate their love to you by accepting the free, full pardon of salvation today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.